I've been dropping stuff into the...
I know, I thought of it today, I was like, I haven't looked at it for a while, I have to check it out and sort it out.
Eventually, will that be one to everything?
Yeah.
Need just a little bit more.
Just want to encourage you with a story
from within our church of some fantastic news that went wrong. Somebody in the Christmas house.
Maybe turn it down a bit.
Thank you. Cleanses us from all sin, and we ask you to sprinkle us in your precious blood, Lord Jesus. Just before we put this next song, let's just spend a few minutes praying in tongues. One of the things we're going to do tonight is we're going to speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's just activate that gift right now. If you've got the gift of tongues, then I'm going to ask you just to speak in tongues nice and loud. And let the Holy Spirit pray through you. The Bible says we don't know how to praise God or what we should pray, but He prays through us when we pray in the Spirit. If you haven't got the gift of tongues, then I encourage you just to join in and to get the gift of tongues tonight. The way to get the gift of tongues is to begin to speak yourself, pick a letter, and just babble like a baby. You don't understand what you're saying. Pick a letter. If you keep repeating yourself, that's fine. Just pick another letter and just keep going and just keep going. Many of us who have this precious gift of the Holy Spirit, how do we ever use it? We want that to change this month. So we're going to pray in tongues for a good 2-3 minutes together out loud, okay? So, you know, don't pass out. You can breathe. Take a breath and just keep praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, okay? And just join in. You know what? And if you can't pray in tongues, it's not what's happening. You can grow in the Spirit. Okay? Just say, oh God, oh God, oh Jesus. But pray in tongues. Okay?
Stand.
You want that right now. If you know it, carry it to your death, a hope of your life, find yourself in your own circle. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Dry your eyes. Wrap it up.
Thank you. You just take your journals out for one moment, please, guys. If you need a pen, please look away. I think some pens down at the front here. Just like us to write, just like us to have a think for a moment. Just write in your journal on a blank sheet. Just one word. Like, put the two words if you have to. One word that would accurately describe your relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit right now. One word. So it could be good, it could be bad, it could be cool, it could be hot, it could be non-existent, but it's two words. It could be growing, it could be anything, but it could be two words. Just write that down. just to make no complaints, just to be able to feel this relationship with the beautiful person. Then I want to encourage you to use that gift and to use it deliberately until it becomes absolutely natural for you. Who wouldn't want the Holy Spirit to pray for you and to pray for you? Do you think the Holy Spirit of God might know what you really need and the right words and what the Father wants to hear through your heart? I think so. But to do that, He's giving you a special gift, the gift of praying in the Spirit. And, you know, that phrase might mean more than tongues, but it certainly means tongues as well. And I want to encourage you to do that by the clock if you need to, until it becomes a natural overflow of your life in God. Until you pray in tongues as easy as you pray in English, and it just interflows, that's just part of your life. Jackie Pullinger, who saw such an incredible breakthrough in Hong Kong with all the drug addicts in the walled city, said that you know, she went as a missionary full of zeal, full of power, full of God, full of zeal, not full of power, zeal, and would be full of boldness and incredible, would witness to people on the streets. She'd go to them and say, you know, prostitutes and drug addicts, and be full of compassion for them, and say, Jesus loves you. And they'd say, in Chinese, so what? And she just had no power at all. Then she met another missionary couple who were filled with the Holy Spirit. They said, you need the Holy Spirit. They sat her on a chair. They prayed for her. She got full of heat and felt the power of the Holy Spirit. They encouraged her to pray in tongues. She said, I don't want to do it. They said, look, just copy us. Just say a little word, say a little word. She got a couple of little syllables and she kept thinking, is that just me? Is that just me? Which is how you start very often. Very few people just burst out in tongues. Marvelous if you did. But most people have to speak themselves. Started to speak, and she did that. And then Jackie Bunger says, and she must be just this type of person, but she said, by the clock, I started to pray in tongues for 15 minutes every day. Just stand looking at my other bedroom wall, and just by the clock, speak in tongues, because I didn't know what to pray for these people on the streets. I had a heart to them, no power to reach them. So I'd speak in tongues for 15 minutes. Which is as long as I could do. Just a long time, isn't it? Yeah. You pray for tongues there, and tongues there for about 2 or 3 minutes. It just shows you how little you actually pray in tongues now, do. Because you think, oh, this is a long time. Not really. And she said, after I started doing that, miracles just happened on the streets everywhere around. I'd say, Jesus love you, and then people would fall to their knees and give their lives to Christ. Drug addicts would be delivered without any side effects from heroin. She was just, she'd used a gift of prayer that she'd been given. I think we should use it too. I want to encourage you. You know, you drop the kids off at school, in that 5 or 10 minutes it takes you to drive home, don't turn the radio. Don't even have a worship table. Say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to speak in tongues until I get home. And if you begin to do that, it'll become a natural flow of your life. And you'll just be speaking in tongues. And the magnitude of that gift, we just don't know. I know people who've preached in tongues in Africa. And God's just said to them, go to the microphone and speak in tongues for half an hour. Loads of people there go and they'll just speaking in tongues like I just was there for half an hour. And at the end, he's called Costa D, this guy. Tom was up, and he's going to be the Lord. And he said to his interpreter, come on, it's time to preach now. And the interpreter said, you've just preached in perfect dialect. They've all got saved, they've all heard it. We don't know what the gift of tongues can do with me until we use it regularly. So I want to encourage you to do that. Okay, have you been enjoying Acts of the Apostles? Has anyone got any insights they want to share from this week? or questions or thoughts, we can knock the microphone around again. You're absolutely free to do that. Anyone got any revelation that they want to share? Sandy, you've been some revelation I can see. Oh, come on, it's fine.
It's just when I was reading it, I actually listened to it a little bit, and I've read it a few times, and it's just a simple thing. It's just when people join people, and around about chapter 15, it certainly goes from Paul and Peter was doing this to actually we were doing that, and we did this, we were here. And it's actually when Luke actually joins Paul on his journeys. It was just, to me, it was simple. And it, as I was listening to Luke joining Paul, I almost felt as though I was joining him as well.
Oh, awesome.
And I just actually became part of the way. And I thought it was wonderful for them as well.
That's beautiful. I'm just impressed with chapter 15. Yeah. Pass it back.
I was just impressed by, the story about the young servant girl going to the door and Peter's there. She closes the door and walks away and goes in and tells everybody, hey, Peter's outside. And they just say to her, come on, you're having this on, you know? And it's just amazing, to me it reminds us, how we can actually be sometimes when, when God does something, it's like, really? But it's exciting because it is a journey, isn't it? It's like, this is the first time we've heard of this. It's the first time we've seen this done.
Yeah.
And I always like it when God does something new or different, because it challenges us. It challenges our faith, doesn't it?
Thoughts? Brilliant. Yeah. Pass that on. To meet you.
Yeah. Just, it was like, God speaking with me. I like relationships. Probably some people as well, And it's about 9 million combinations you can actually go to and play with chess when you play,
chess.
Right, and so I'm just thinking, it's sometimes for the each combination you need to think and the way to go. But with Holy Spirit and with God, we don't need a thing. We can only pray, and God reveal, that way we need to go. It's just,
It's awesome. It is awesome. Do you know what? Actually, I saw something very similar to that. A combination that the Holy Spirit leads them into over and over again through our acts. It's always, I don't know if you picked this up as well, but it hit me afresh this week. It's always believing, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, repentance, almost like it doesn't matter what order, but they really bother the all four way. And we just keep doing that. Some people are like, I noticed that Simon the sorcerer, when Philip's been preaching in Samaria, and he's been baptized, he believes, he's been baptized, but he hasn't repented. He doesn't repent until the apostles get there and Peter says to him, your heart's full of wickedness, you're not right with God, Then repent, it's like amazing, scary but true. You can be baptized, you can believe, but not have repented. So you're not fully functioning, you're not fully in, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit.
I was looking at chapter 8, and I like the idea this is when the church starts getting persecuted and scattered, and it looks really naff. However, it then says, verse 4, it says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many. So, I think it's mine when Paul's on the word a bit naff, or not going away. Just do with that God could be in the whole thing and sending you out, and then can still use you. And then my question, my one question today. Right, got in verse 14, and, so it's chapter 8, and then it's got, so verse 14, so when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, baptized in fire, and here they simply, just simply being baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So it was like, what's that? And like, you know, do we have to care about that? Does that mean baptism in water or
what? I might end up asking a second question while trying to answer it, is the problem. We had a discussion about what does baptism by water actually do? You know, the physical act of doing it, and we kind of agreed, didn't we, that Jesus did it, so if I want to be like Jesus, then I should mimic him in every way I can. And so if he was baptized in water, then so should I. But then we felt like, well, being baptized in the Holy Spirit can happen the moment you accept Jesus in your life. So you don't have to go and get baptized physically in water before you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many people think like that, aren't there? Many people have accepted Jesus in life and start speaking in tongues moments after they've accepted him. I've found that a lot. I think, for me, I think sometimes it's expressions of the same thing. Sometimes. So when someone says he was baptized in fire, for me, that fire is the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's no different baptism there. It's not a certain type of baptism, one over another. And I think sometimes, because different people write different books in the Bible and they have different expressions, they just use different things. But ultimately, fire is the Holy Spirit.
Because I think with this one, it was just a difference, because it just says that they prayed that the Holy Spirit might come on them, and he did. But it said because they'd simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, and I wasn't sure what that sentence meant.
It means a couple of things.
Sorry, I haven't asked it.
Oh, sorry, I'm just wondering. It's the name of Jesus. You answered some of it, which is the significance about baptism. Do you know what? Baptism is so significant. Did you see how significant baptism is? I mean, the Apostle Paul gets healed, filled with the Holy Spirit to his conversion, but as soon as he's up, he gets baptized. It's so important. They just always getting baptized, whether filled with the Holy Spirit or not. But baptized into the name of Jesus is a significant one. And for me, I think it's a couple of things. Because there is a sort of sect in the church that think you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus only, which of course is just ridiculous, because Jesus himself said, you know, go in all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But also, when it says baptize into the name of Jesus, there's a couple of things. One is, in some versions it just says baptized in the name of Jesus. But if you read it as NIV of chosen to, which is baptized into the name of Jesus, they were sure that the people were baptized in water into Christ, but they hadn't been baptized into the Holy Spirit fire until the apostles laid hands on them. That's one part of it. But the other thing is this, that they were making a distinction that acts between the baptism of John. Lots of people have been baptized by John. So, like in Ephesians, in Ephesus, they meet a group of people who were believers, it says, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. So Paul says to them, well, what? How were you baptized then? And they were only baptized in John's baptism. So it says, you know, he got them filled with the Holy Spirit and then baptized them. And it says again in heaven, into the name of Jesus. But it's the same thing as our baptism in Acts. It's in the name of Jesus.
I was going to say, actually, there's still a sect today that does that.
Yeah.
The Sabians in Iran are actually John's baptism.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And, just a comment on what you said, Mark. Yeah. I think that Romans 6 is a good explanation of being baptized into Jesus. Yeah. was it says that we're identified with him in his spirit on his resurrection.
Yeah.
It's a symbolic thing that we're doing. We're saying, I'm dead to my old self, and when we come out of water, it's to come up to newness of life in Christ.
And I think, I think the thing is, when you start getting intense about a verse or a couple of verses like that, you're always going to go off a bit. And so we were in Estonia, and this guy comes and says, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. All you guys, your baptism isn't relevant. They'd been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But this guy says, no, you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Ridiculous! Whack! If anything sounds whack, guys, it usually is. If anyone gets intense about coming to us, no, it's just religious spirit. Just stay normal. Stay with the general scriptures. And don't get hung up on. Baptize in the name of Jesus, baptize in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit. Baptize, aren't you? As a Christian, it's not John's baptism, this is into Christ. That's what matters. And you only need to do it once. You only get rebaptized and check if all the names right. God's not daft. He's not a computer. He's not mocking us. If you're baptized, you're baptized. Anything else? Before we have a very unique toilet break.
I spotted a verse saying that Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's 2:38. And we'll just have a chat there. Because back in 8, it says that.
We have some
questions. Yeah. It's about.
Go on, then you ask it. Grab that mic. Go,
Lily! Well, didn't you?
I was just saying that when being baptized, and then said Peter and John placed their hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. I just thought that the Holy Spirit came and baptized. I didn't realize they had to lay their hands on to receive the Holy Spirit.
Don't have to, but it's obviously Paul's going to ask this question tonight. Can I just
keep thinking? Obviously, Marion and I cheated and we watched the DVD bit as well. And it was a bit cheesy. But some of the acting was really bad. But the best bit is where Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch and then disappears and says suddenly the spirit took him away and he took him somewhere else. And the video version at least was hilarious because he disappeared. And then he'd on the beach with a lot of kids. But it was just a lot of like, it's amazing, isn't it? We know what that was like, to just be somewhere and suddenly disappear, You walk in the Costa, suddenly you're in Starbucks. I don't know.
Yeah, awesome.
I was just going to say that, if you look at Acts chapter 10, it was, if you're looking at order, it's kind of a reverse order.
Yeah.
Because, the house of Cornelius was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they baptized it in water, And that was, it was kind of like a sign to Peter.
Yeah.
Because poor old Peter, he's a Jew through and through, And he said, if they're going to baptize the Holy Spirit like we were, how can we deny him water? So that was another thing I liked about
it. So the Holy Spirit comes when he wants,
and
how he wants. That's the point.
But he always challenges your religiosity.
Yeah. And if the Holy Spirit hasn't come, the truth is, the laying on of hands by an apostle, you will come because it's the faith of the believer. Oh, do you know what? Is there anyone else?
I'm just sat here thinking, I bet loads of people are thinking, what's the difference between John's baptism and baptism in the name of Jesus?
The difference is simply this: John's baptism is a baptism about repenting of your sins. For the forgiveness of sins, to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Jesus' baptism was the Christian baptism was a baptism into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So when it says into the name of the Lord Jesus, they mean it. You're baptized into the person of Jesus. You go in yourself, you come out in Him, clothed in Him. And I think that the thing to really get hold of in all of this is the vital importance of water baptism. That's what's hit me, right, over and over again. You know, it's a vital pattern to it. Whatever the combination, the apostles and the early Christians made sure everyone filled with the Spirit and very often and speaking in tongues and baptized in water, repented, believed, understood the gospel, believed. Those four things over. And it just, so the whole, look at just the last couple of weeks for me, just raised the whole thing in my mind again. Yeah. Whatever does happen in water baptism, we've just got to do it as soon as people believe. And just make sure people are filled with the Holy Spirit all over and over.
2 minutes, then we're going to
carry on that point, because from my experience in church, baptism, you know, it should be a simple thing like what we've just been saying. But experience in English churches is that you have to go through a course, you have to stand at the front and give your testimony, all this stuff added, which puts people off. And it should be simply as, you know, well, let's just do it. So whether we're going to have a bath or a pool or something at the new building, or can we just, if a friend of ours becomes a believer, right, let's fill the bath and do it now. Why not? Because it does become a religious thing, doesn't it? No, let's wait till we go to the church building. Why?
I just love it when the Ethiopian Union says, here's water. Yeah, it could be anything, but I just love that, you know. Here's some water, let's do it now.
To be honest, as an evangelist, the reason I love what happened in church is because for someone's baptism, you always get family in. That's the main reason I love
it. Just in, you know, when the Ethiopian gets baptized, and says, what are we waiting for? It's like, you know, that scripture, you know, what are you waiting for? Get in there, you know. Just in question, how going back to chapter 2, and it says about, you know, it says they were sitting, we talked about this last week, they were sitting, you know, on the day of Pentecost, but it doesn't say they were actually praying. So it was interesting when you were saying about the Holy Spirit coming, they weren't actually praying for the Holy Spirit to come, they were just sitting in the room, and the Holy Spirit came. And just one more little thing, in chapter 3, you were doing about the crippled beggar last week, I was reading it, I just thought it was interesting how it says how Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And I think all the time when I read it, I presumed they were going, I was thinking, but they're not Jews, if you like, now, they're followers of Jesus. And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But just to say they're going to pray, it says at the time of prayer, they're going to the temple. I thought, yeah, they're going to preach, you know. And I thought, that's awesome to think. They weren't going to pray, you know, and be religious. It was like, they're going there because the people were there. All the people were there. And I just thought it was interesting how when, you know, they prayed for the crippled beggar and how he went in and how everything was changed. You know, the mindset, the tradition. The tradition was that everybody knew that guy was there. He was over 40 years old and from birth he'd been crippled. So it was a tradition and like it was almost like it's been blown out of the water, this tradition. The crippled beggar, who used to be there, it says, he's not there anymore, you know. And I just thought it was quite funny how this guy, crippled beggar, got up and he says he was dancing and leaping and praising God in the temple. And then when everybody started to come, he said he was hanging on to Peter and John. I thought it was quite humorous how he was like hanging on to them. And then the big crowd came and it was like Peter and John thought, wow, here I am, and then started preaching. Yeah, awesome. Anyway.
Started preaching a bit like
you. I just want to follow up Stu saying about this Philip.
Yeah.
Well, that does happen today. There's many recorded incidents of that happening. People just going from one place to another. And that vaguely remember it happened to me when I first became a Christian. And it's not weird, it's going to be weird. It's not like weird stuff. Feelings perfectly good, but you just walk around all of a sudden you're somewhere else. It's amazing.
I want that gift.
No more Ryanair. Italian.
Yeah, well, we can look for it. That's what it's called. If we're going to want the Holy Spirit big there, we can look for these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
that
was the
main
driving car, that's why we don't charge. So that's all we're going to move on. I just want to quickly go back to the prayer again. Peter took him by the right hand and helped him up. And it was as he was helping him up, his ankles became strong. It wasn't like he left him on the floor and was praying for him while he was laying. He actually pulled him up.
Yeah.
He was pulling up, his ankles became strong. And just
actions.
Yeah.
Can I just share from my prayer? The weirdest thing happened on Sunday. I was over in that corner praying for, remember the guy that came in, I had cancer, Russell. I was just sharing with Mark this morning. Gloria was like stood next to me, she had over his hand, and Bev was circling like a hawk over here. Stuart came over out through, but partway through, praying for him. He fell on my arm. Right? He fell on my arm. Now he's bigger than me, this guy, and heavier than me, right? But he fell on my arm, and his legs were virtually off the ground. I'm not kidding you. And yet I couldn't feel any weight on my arm at all. And I said to Mark,
if I could have lifted his feet up with my finger. I've never had that before. It was just something in the power of praying for him. And just as you said that, it just reminded me of it. It was awful.
Sure.
Maybe you can lose weight. That's just great. This is absolutely consolidating very, very quickly on the
because you know what you said about baptism, that has to be done straight away. Obviously, a lot of baptism is in the acts of public, and that probably has an impact on other people, you know. So that's the reason for, you know, on Sunday nights we have lots of baptisms. You know, it's good for people to sort of declare what they're doing and stuff, you know, rule. But the worst one of the baptism is when people say they're not ready. So when you say to somebody, you know, you think you become a Christian, you say, do you want to get baptized? When they say, I'm not ready, often it means that they haven't actually committed their life to the Lord. But the other thing is it can get into a bit of a stumbling block. So people can be told, well, maybe you're not ready, and that's not actually true. And it really is about belief in the baptism straight away.
So every week we're going to do this. Because it's important that we learn together through the scriptures. So listen guys, the best thing to do is when you've got a bit of time, and you might not be willing to do this every day, listen, it's alright, life's life. You might not read each other a week, and think, doesn't matter. What matters is, when you do read, get your little booklet with you. And if you have any question, write it down. Read it. Share it. Together the Holy Spirit will be teaching us, showing us new things. We'll learn together. He's the teacher, he's got the answers. And corporately together we learn stuff from Acts and share revelation. Okay, so just note questions, revelations, little thoughts, insights. We'll come in and share. You know, if you don't write it down, it's hard to share. You start to think, we should have thought of something, you know, and otherwise Darren was just gonna hog the floor.
So let's have a toilet paper.
5 minutes. Thank you for those insights.
Lily said to me, I think you said that.